You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, welcome back to Newstalk, A30WCCO. Henry Legge broadcasting live from Target Center here in the Skyway, leading you up to Wolves basketball tonight. A late tip because, well, a change in the time. You go from 7 o'clock to an 8:40 tip because it's a nationally televised game, and we love that. It's the L.A. Clippers there in town, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, coached by Doc Rivers. It should be a fun night for Wolves fans, and it's a sellout. So we will get back to the Wolves here in a little bit. But for this segment, let's talk a little Major League Baseball because it's the hot stove season. We've had winter meetings, and there's a lot of people that are flying off the board in terms of free agents. And we'll talk right now to a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Brandon Warren from Zone Coverage Minnesota. He joins us now. Hey, Brandon, how you been, man?
Hey, doing good. How about you? I kind of wish I was down there at the Target Center. It sounds like kind of a festive atmosphere.
It's going to be an awesome time. And, you know, when you're in the midst of a losing streak the way that the Wolves are, I really do think that the crowd can pick this team up tonight. When it's more energy and the atmosphere is really raucous and it's a lot of fun in the building, that can really uplift the team. So, and you've seen that at Target Field with the mm-hmm. Twins and just being there and it's a packed house. It's just a different type of vibe.
Yeah, you need Carl to go off tonight, I think, is kind of what you need if it's going to be a competitive game to come down the wire. And it's kind of fun to think about the game getting over about 11 o'clock, 11:30. But usually it's playing out in L.A. for this late. But who knows? It'll be kind of fun.
It'll be fun for me because I'm a night owl anyway, right? You're used to joining me at like 11 o'clock at night or like 10:30 or whatever, and you're joining me now. I'm totally flipped the whole mindset of talking to Brandon Warren because Brandon is joining me at like 7:06, right?
Crazy.
I'm throwing you off, man. But let's talk Major League Baseball. Let's talk Twins. Before we get to Twins, specifically with Major League Baseball free agency, I like the difference this year as opposed to the last, let's say, 3 years. And the reason why I say this, that I like the difference is that it's different this year because for the last three off seasons, we've seen the free agent signings come very late, and we've seen not a lot of money be paid out to a lot of players, right? You had a lot of guys that thought that they would get paid, didn't get paid. You saw a lot of players that thought that they would get signed early, have to wait until basically spring training to get a deal. I like the fact that because Scott Boras was so adamant and so upset the last couple of winters about this, I don't want to say that it was collusion, but he said something's not right, something's up. And I think that that message has kind of gotten through. And I think the other part of it is I think that teams are saying, you know what, it really doesn't help us at all to kind of wait to the last minute to sign guys. I just like to see players get paid. I like to see players get the money that's owed to them, and they've created a market for themselves. So I like the fact that names are flying off the board early on in this process.
Yeah, you got to love to see your guys getting that paper. And Boras's guys are closing in on $1 billion worth of guaranteed contracts this winter.
Yeah, he loves
it. Before even Christmas time, man. If Dallas Keuchel signs a multi-year deal before Christmas, he might break that billion barrier. He's got a couple other guys, too. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think the closer we get to the next set of labor negotiations, the more likely teams were to kind of open things up again. I don't know what they think they proved the last two off seasons because I think it made a lot of players bitter about this process.
Mm-hmm.
Your Lance Lynn's, you know, any of the middle-tier guys, you know, Bryce Harper got paid, Manny Machado got paid. But, man, the middle class in free agency really got kind of stiff last winter and the winter before. So I'm not sure exactly what was proven, and I don't know what makes this winter different except that they're that much closer to what could be a very contentious CBA negotiations coming up here in a couple years.
I agree with you because think of it like this. So when I spent time in Kansas City and I was hosting there, clearly I saw up close and personal, we saw Mike Moustakas, right? Moose.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some of his better years in Kansas City, right? And so he's a guy that he got, you know, he ended up going into free agency. And the last couple of winters just he wasn't able to get a long-term deal. And then all of a sudden now I think he just signed for like a three-year deal with, I can't remember even who he signed with, but
Reds.
With the Cincinnati Reds.
Four-year
deal. So think about that for a second. You have all this stuff going on the last couple of years, and all of a sudden now that everybody wants to spend money, a guy like Mike Moustakas, who's not a top-tier free agent, gets a four-year deal.
He's a lucky one, too, because imagine if his play had slipped even a little bit. He's going to get 6 years between the four-year deal and the 2 1-year deals he just got for, I think, somewhere in the vicinity of $90 million or $100 million.
That's crazy.
Still less than Eric Hosmer got. And for my money, I'd rather have Moustakas than Hosmer. You might differ.
Ooh, but, I do differ.
Well, when I see Moustakas, though, I also see a backbone-type guy, that Michael Kadire type, where if you win a bunch of games, you have a really good clubhouse, that's going to be your guy. You know, the corner locker, talks after games, is kind of the gritty hustle guy that also plays a corner position. He's going to play second base for the Reds. But I don't know.
Let me give you some inside information on why I differ with you on that. And this is just because I was around it closer than you, so you would know this. They're two different type of guys. Mike Moustakas is not the greatest clubhouse guy. Let's just put it like that. A lot of the, you know, him talking to the media, it's rather fake. And I know it firsthand. He's not like, just ask media members in Kansas City. Sure. He was not somebody that we were necessarily a fan of. Now, Eric Hosmer, on the other hand, is a guy that he gets it, man. Like, he's a good dude. Like, me and Hos, we would stand around his locker sometimes, and it wasn't even talking about baseball. We would talk about, like, cologne. You know what I'm saying? We would talk about, like, other random type things. So, Eric Hosmer is just – he's a good dude. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to always be a fan. Mike Moustakas, I'm not really a fan.
You,
I'm not
know
a fan,
that
I'll say that.
Is good to me? Danny Duffy. Duffy was really good to me.
I love Danny Duffy. Him, Hosmer, and Lorenzo Cain, my favorite three players from those Royals teams.
You had some great years in Kansas City, man. Let's be honest. You had a really good stretch there.
I lucked out. Yeah, I lucked out. My three favorite guys in my time there, Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, and Danny Duffy, those three. The two guys that I did not like and I did not get along with, Mike Moustakas, and I didn't like Jason Vargas.
Wow. No, I mean, we saw what happened with Vargas.
Yes, and that's who he is.
Yeah, and I think it was Tim Healy or someone. Or maybe that was the Mickey Callaway thing. But Vargas had a combative situation. It's like, come on, man.
But that's who
People
he is.
Out to get you like that.
That's
come
who
on.
He is. And him and Moose rolled tight like
really?
That. Yes, yes.
That's too bad.
Yep.
That's too bad, man.
Yep. We're talking to Brandon Warren, Zone Coverage, Minnesota, here on, well, I guess you could call it late night, or you can call it pregame to Timberwolves basketball here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's talk Twins.
Yeah.
The thing that I've been saying to Twins fans for the last couple of days is don't freak out. Like, mm-hmm. I think that we have this mindset that if the Twins don't spend money in the first week, that they're not going to necessarily spend any money at all. And I don't want anybody to have this mindset that if the Twins don't spend money in the first week, that they're not going to necessarily spend any money at all. And I don't want anybody to freak out that way. But what is the assessment that you have of the Twins and maybe the possible free agents that are still on the board and who they should be reaching out to?
I'm preaching patience just like you. If you want to come on my Twitter and tell me winter's over, I'm going to send you a picture of my backyard and my hot tub with a foot of snow on top of it. Winter is not over, man. It's a long ways from now until 2 months from now when pitchers and catchers get out of their homelands and head to Fort Myers and start stretching and pitching and doing all that fun stuff to get ready to come up here for late March, believe it or not. The season starts, I think, this coming year. I think they go out west, so they're not going to be here when it's super cold. But, yeah, man, there's still a lot of time left. And everybody's getting all upset. You got to keep in mind, other than Garrett Cole and Steven Strasburg and Zach Wheeler, you've still got some good pitchers on the board. You got Bumgarner. Maybe he comes, maybe he doesn't. Ryu, same thing. Keuchel. I mean, didn't you and I talk about pretty much all these guys about 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago?
Yes.
On this exact airwaves?
Yep.
Anything can happen, man. There's trades. There's your guy Julio Teheran still out there. There's a lot of things that can still happen. And this is a front office that is playing chess. Everyone wants to play checkers. These guys have all their moves mapped out. I trust 100% that they know exactly what they're doing on their continuous build to a team that could possibly rule this division for a while. That's how well they've set it up in farm system, big league talent, financial flexibility, and analytics. Coaching staff, they got the whole thing mapped out. And I'm telling you, this is the best time ever to be a Twins fan, man.
Well, the thing that I've always preached, and I stand by this with Levine and Falvey, is because I like their approach. Spend money wisely. Just don't spend money just to spend money. And there are certain teams, big market teams, that will spend a ton of cash because they have a ton of cash available to them. Mm-hmm. The Twins have to go about it a different way, and I just want them to be smart with their spending.
They do the flexibility thing, man. If you look at their future balance sheets, so they're in it for like $101 million right now, and then next year it's guaranteed of like $20 million. You got Kepler and Polanco, and then you got a few options and that sort of thing. But it's all wide open after that. Other than a couple guys locked down, it's if you got a guy underperforming, you can non-tender him. If you want to give a guy a contract like a Berríos, a Buxton, or a Sano, they have so much flexibility, and that's where they can afford to make an offer. I can't say they can afford to make a mistake, but they can make an offer to a guy like Josh Donaldson for 4 years if they decide that their risk-reward analysis says that it's worth it, because they just have that much flexibility into the future. They're not locked into anything like the Angels have been with Albert Pujols, or the Tigers have been with Miguel Cabrera and Jordan Zimmermann. They're in such a good place, and it's because of Terry Ryan's frugality and roster-building acumen that they're in this position. They inherited a very good financial position and a pretty good farm system that they've turned into a very good farm system.
Hey, Brandon, I know that we, because this is a different time slot, it's a different show, and the clocks are different. I want to extend the conversation because I have a few other questions that I have not been able to have time to ask you quite yet. Can you hold on through one break and then we talk to you on the other side?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it with Brandon Warren from Zone Coverage Minnesota, because there's plenty of people here in the Skyway listening to us as we're doing this show, and we're talking Twins, and we'll get back to the Wolves here in about another 12 minutes with Dane Moore from Zone Coverage as well. But we'll take a break, come back, more with Brandon Warren about the Twins coming up next year. Newstalk 830 WCCO. All right, welcome back. Henry Lake hanging out here at Target Center in the Skyway. Actually talking Twins baseball before we get to Timberwolves basketball here next segment with Dane Moore from Zone Coverage. But right now we're talking Twins with Brandon Warren from Zone Coverage. Give Brandon a follow on Twitter, @Brandon_Warren. He joins us right now. And let's pick up where we left off, going to the Minnesota Twins and Major League Baseball free agency. One of the names that a lot of people have been hearing about the last couple of days, and I know that you love this name, is Josh Donaldson. He's had a really good career. He's got a lot left in the tank. When you talk about Josh Donaldson being available, what do you think the type of money is going to need to be spent to get a Josh Donaldson to an organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at 4 years and probably 23 to 25 million per year.
You think that Josh Donaldson he can still garner $100 million?
Yeah, I do, because I just think with the number of teams still looking, keep in mind that the Nationals have to fill where Rendon was, and the Braves have to replace Donaldson if they don't get him. And you've got the Cubs kind of dangling Chris Bryant out there, the Rockies thinking about Nolan Arenado, who's got a $200 million contract. The money is there, and the players are there. It's time to, you know, you're kind of playing at the big boy table. I think there's, if he gets 3 years and $25 million, I could see it, but I think someone's going to bump it to four to get him. And I think he's going to be worth it.
So you're in for 4 years, $100 million.
For the Twins, I think you can be, because you have the flexibility. You can move Miguel Sano over. Donaldson's still a good defensive third baseman. He takes great care of himself. He's a savant. He studies pitchers. He's slavish to his discipline in terms of training. He knows all the analytical stuff. He's the kind of guy that's going to age like Nelson Cruz, in my opinion. Nelson Cruz still ticking. He's coming up on 40. I think that when Nelson Cruz signed with the Mariners, everyone was like, man, a five-year deal for this guy. It's going to be a disaster. He can't play the outfield. And you know what? It ended up being a great deal. He ended up going to Texas. He ended up doing a whole bunch of things since then. Now he's still killing it with the Twins. I think Donaldson's going to be the same kind of guy where, if you got to move him to first base eventually, that's fine. If you got to have him DH eventually, that's fine. I think the guy's going to mash for three of those 4 years, if not all four, and maybe beyond that. I trust the bat that much. And defensively, the Twins could use the help in the infield. He's a really good third baseman, and the Twins were one of the worst defensive infields in all of baseball last year.
All right, so let me ask you this. We got a couple of minutes left. Yeah. When you look at what, at least from my perspective, I like the name Josh Donaldson. I like him as a player. But before we do anything with any position players, I want to see a damn pitcher. Like, we gotta add some talent to the starting rotation of the pitchers that are on the board right now. Who's the pitcher you want, and who do you think is maybe the pitcher that's most likely?
I've been really looking at Ryu, man. I know he's not super young, but he's got the command. He's got the stuff. He's an elite sequencer. He's just got all the intangibles. I believe he's a big ground ball guy, which I know the infield defense, I just said, isn't that good. But ground balls don't leave the ballpark. So if MLB doesn't de-juice the baseball, at least you've got something to fall back on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if they don't want to go $20, $22 million for him, I think Dallas Keuchel, another ground ball guy, is a really good consolation prize. And guess what? You could pair him with Donaldson, $40 million a year for both of those guys. The Twins' payroll would still be under where it finished the 2018 season. So that's totally doable. So get the two Braves, man. Bring them in. I think that's the approach I would go. Keuchel and Donaldson.
Okay. All right. I feel you on that. But do you think Keuchel is – because what type of deal do you think Keuchel is going to get? Like, when I look at Keuchel, Keuchel's not going to get a four-year deal. I don't even think that he'll get a three. I think he'll probably be lucky to get a couple years on a contract, right? It just seems like he's not a guy that's going to get some long-term deal.
No, and that's what's going to appeal to them is they've got Gratterall, they've got Balazovic, they've got Blaine Enloe, all these guys they like. So I think you could get him 2 years, $30, $32 million.
I'd do that today.
Yeah, 25 and 15 or 16, $40 million bucks. You're at 100 right now. Boom. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would do that today for Keuchel because he's good enough, and I'm in the camp that I would rather overpay for a guy short term than doing anything long term with a guy.
Then they are too. Look at the balance sheets again. They're wide open after like 2021. They want to maintain that flexibility so they can be fluid and adapt to whatever the market has. Because a guy like Francisco Lindor is a free agent in 2 years. If they have the chance to sign a guy like that and make him their shortstop, they would love to do that.
Yep. Hey, awesome stuff as always. Brandon Warren, give him a follow on Twitter, Brandon_Warren on Twitter. And, hey, I appreciate you hanging out with us tonight, my man.
Anytime.
All right. Take care. Brandon Warren, Zone Coverage, Minnesota, joining us here on Late Night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.